Gavin. I want to speak to you this morning about living life to fully. Living life fully. Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to read the first 19 verses of this chapter. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is the sea is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. If there is one word that can characterize the Christian life, it should be faith. That's very simplistic, I know, but if you want to boil it down to just that, faith. Verse 6, it said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And that's our purpose for existing, is to please God. Faith. Our life began with faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our life ends in faith. It said here in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. He left this earth without dying. He went straight to heaven, raptured by faith. But then in verse 13 it says, these all died in faith. As it went on and counted others there, Enoch and beyond Enoch, there was Abel and Noah and Abraham, died in faith. We're to live by faith. As I read verse 6 there. But it says in Hebrews 10 and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. And that phrase is repeated twice more in the New Testament. Once in Romans, once in Galatians. The just shall live by faith. We're to walk by faith, not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 tells us. And finally, Romans 14, 23 says, we're going to be judged by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith is an important element of our Christian life. Now the question is, are we living by faith? What are you doing in your life on a regular basis by faith? Or are you just going through the motions of this life and waiting for eternity? Are you doing anything that you're trusting God for that only He can do, that you can't do in and of yourself, that you're depending completely on Him to accomplish? The just shall live by faith. As you read through Hebrews chapter 11, this whole chapter, it's called Faith's Hall of Fame, and we stopped before the end, but it goes on and talks about many others that different things that they're accomplished in their lives through faith. Romans 15 and verse 4 says that the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God has recorded this for us. God has given this chapter as well as the entire Bible for our learning, for our gaining, from our gleaning from, to help us in this walk of faith that He expects us to accomplish in this life. To live life fully, not just a mediocre existence. God spoke to Noah and Abraham and the others, and it says they responded. Look at verse 31 of this chapter, Hebrews 11, 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall we say more? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. By faith. Some of those outcomes may not be all that, or the part of the process might not be all that desirable, but the outcome is by faith. God spoke, and these people responded. That's faith. Believing God and acting upon what He tells us. Taking the promises of the Word of God and applying them in our lives by faith. Look back at verse 8 again. Abraham is the one I want to focus on a little bit here. He talks about how he was called out of a place which he should after receive for inheritance in verse 8, obeyed, and he went not knowing whither he went. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at that incident from his life. Genesis chapter 12. As things begin with Abraham there in chapter 12, chapter 11 is where he's introduced, and we find about his father, and they're living in the Ur of the Chaldees. This is a pagan land. Abraham grew up as an idolater, not worshiping the true God, in this land with his father. But then we come to chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this: Now the Lord said unto Abram, which this is before his name was changed to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Now this is a foreign voice to him. He's not a follower and worshiper of God at this point. This is God's initial call in his life. And he says, hey you, why don't you leave home? I want you to leave your inheritance. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave all that you're familiar with. I want you to go over here. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I'll bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He was well established where he lived. He was comfortable. And God says, why don't you leave that? Just pack up and go. And don't bring anybody with you. Why don't you go alone? And so his journey began by faith, with no knowledge of the land where he was going, with no understanding of the economy there, not knowing if there was a church there, the hospitals, the schools, none of that. He's going blind. Not even having a job. Just a promise. I'm going to take you and I'm going to make something great of you. As God spoke to him and he obeyed. And you go through the life of Abraham, and faith was a distinctive feature of his life. Throughout, he did things by faith. God called him to venture further, to expand, to grow, to release control, to surrender to him completely. And he says, when you do that, here's what I'm going to do. And folks, the situation is similar with us. God says, I saved you by faith. You put your trust in me. You gave to me your sins. I've given to you my righteousness. Now you're my child. And now I want to make something of you. I want to make something of your life. Now that doesn't mean there aren't going to be some difficult times. Abraham was looking in a little bit here. We'll see. Abraham faced some difficult times and trials and testings. But it was all for a purpose of where God wanted to bring him. And when we, knowing the end of what happened with Abraham, what a simple thing it was to ask of him for what God did in return for his act of faith. Did Abraham stumble? Yes. How many of us have stumbled? But God still honored him. There was a famine as they went up to the land of Canaan. He followed God there. There was a famine came. He ran to Egypt to get bread. And on the way, he lied about his wife being his sister to save his own hide. Then he took Hagar after no children are born because, you know, God promised there's going to be children. And he and Sarah conspired together. Well, this isn't working out, so you take this handmaid and we'll take things into our own hands, walking now by sight, not by faith, and we'll help God out with this promise of his. The result was Ishmael, who has been a thorn in the side of the people of Israel to this day. You know that fighting in the Middle East, the Palestinians and the Arabs and all that? Those are Ishmael's descendants. And that all traces back to that point of failure in Abraham's life to live by faith. When he took things into his own hands, and tried to help God out with a promise that God had given him to try to fulfill what God had promised he was going to do in his life. And what a mess that was, just like the mess in our lives when we start stepping away from faith and living by sight. Then there came the birth of Isaac, which was that promise. When Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham was 100. It says her womb was dead and she was past age, it says there in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham was 100 years old, past the age of childbearing or child procreating. And God did it when they trusted him. When we trust him. It's amazing what God can do. But then there came that ultimate test. Go to Genesis chapter 22. This promise is finally fulfilled. Keep your finger in Genesis 22. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. It talked in some of the verses there we've already read about the birth of Isaac, the promised seed. Now down to verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You see, that product of Sarah and Abraham trying to help to fulfill God's will in their lives, God rejected that. God says, Ishmael is not going to be the promised seed. I'm going to give you a child that became Isaac when you're past the age of childbearing. That's the one who all these promises, that land that I'm going to give you, the blessings upon you, that all who bless you will be blessed and all who curse you will be cursed. And all nations of the world will be blessed in you. That one who all those promises rest on is going to be Isaac. And now we come to Genesis 22 and this. Verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now he's well acquainted with that voice. Right here, Lord. I'm waiting. I'm listening. What do you want? And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Boy, I don't know how I would react to that. There's sometimes I probably would be readily willing to sacrifice my child, my sons. Not really. But look at Abraham. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for that burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Man, there is no delay. There is no hesitation. Okay, God, I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. But he learned to trust him. And by faith, he goes to offer his son Isaac. Verse 4, and on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. There's no doubt. God, I don't know how you're going to work this out. But I know that your promises rest on this boy. This is my seed that those promises have passed on to, which are going to be passed on to his seed, which he doesn't even have yet. And we're on the way, and this boy is about to be offered as a burnt offering on an altar. But you guys wait here, and I and the lad will go and come again. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I know this boy is not going to end right here. And Abraham, verse 6, took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in the hand, his hand, and a knife, and they both went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father? He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But we're missing something. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And he laid that altar out there and he got the wood on that thing and this teenage boy trusted his father. Let him put him on that altar. Somebody else is exercising some faith here too. And it says, Abraham took the knife and had it raised over his son, ready to plunge it into his chest. And God says, okay, now I know. Now I know, Abraham, you trust me. And then they look, and there's a lamb in the thicket, and that becomes a sacrifice. And Abraham and the boy returned by faith. They simply believed what God told them. Even though it didn't make sense, they responded to that. This walk of faith took Abraham from mediocrity to an exceptional life. He could have stayed in the Ur of the Chaldees. Probably would have had a good life. But look at all that he would have missed. And to this day, being highly regarded by the people of Israel as their father, their example of a walk by faith. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 21. Right after the book of Hebrews. James 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son, Isaac his son, on the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God by faith. And God desires us to live a life of faith. That's the difference between a mediocre Christian life and living the Christian life to the fullness. I want you to see first, quickly now, God initiates an act of faith. You know, God's blamed for a lot of things that he had no part of. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Jesus Christ is here as he's beginning his earthly ministry. He's been baptized. Now he starts with the ministry. And the next chapters, 5, 6, and 7, are the Sermon on the Mount. But in chapter 4, he's in the wilderness. He's been driven in there. And Satan meets him. And look what it says in verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, the devil knows the scripture. The devil quoted scripture to Jesus Christ as he's on his temple. He said, come on, let's show your stuff. Let's see what you can do.
And look how Jesus responded. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
You know, sometimes Satan will try to get us to do things that are stupid. And Jesus said, God has no part in this. There's no need to give this display just to satisfy your curiosity. God isn't part of this thing. And I'm not going to play your silly little game. And sometimes we get trapped into thinking that you know, this is God, and it's not. It's just silliness on our own doing, or maybe somebody else's. Where did this idea come from? Who's going to get the credit for it? God will initiate acts of faith. Last year, the room we met in started at those speakers and went back that way. Remember that? And we were in the process of adding this section onto this. And when we started that project, there were some concerns because of the bedrock that's underneath here. And the fact that the floor from the building that existed from there to here was, the floor was 10 inches higher. And we didn't know what we were going to find underneath that thing. But we said, okay, we've looked, we needed to expand, we needed more room, and everything that we've pursued has come to a dead end. In fact, I didn't even realize this was an option, adding on to this part of the building. And when it came up, well, maybe that's it. So let's step out on faith. And we got the floor torn out, and praise the Lord, there was no bedrock to deal with from here back. By faith. Maybe a silly illustration, maybe simple, too simple, I don't know. But it's real. If we just trust God, here's the door that's open. Here's the direction that God seems to want us to go in. So let's take a step. We've taken on a number of missionaries over the years. I think it's 12 or 14, 13, something like that. Now at $150 a month each. Praise God. Where's the money going to come from? Trust God. I believe supporting missions is important. I believe that's of God. And I believe one of the reasons God has blessed this church financially is because of our willingness to give by faith. My family and I moved here from Kansas in September of 2000. That was an act of faith. We didn't even have a place to live when we moved here. We pulled into town with that, well, all we had was our van. Our stuff hadn't even arrived yet. We didn't even know where we were staying that night. And God took care of that every step of the way. When you know you're doing what God wants you to do, you don't have to worry about the details. By faith. Acts of faith which God initiates. He's responsible for the events. Let God be seen in your life. What are you doing by faith right now? Is there anything in your life that you're trusting God for that only He can do? God initiates that. Secondly, I want you to see this. Trials reveal our faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Well, let's back up a little bit. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness, through manifold temptations. You see, sometimes those trials, those hard things are a part of the process.
He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. These trials are opportunities to reveal our commitment to God. He picked Abraham. He says, look, here's what I want you to do. And Abraham stepped out on faith, leaving everything behind to follow God. And he went through some trials in that whole process, but God proved himself faithful in each and every time. We need to trust him. It often requires a change of plans, sometimes a change of direction. You know, we like everything all plotted out clearly, right? You want to see where the end is going, but God says, no, you know, one step at a time. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Those steps. And then Nancy brought this verse up in Sunday school. It goes on and says, and though he fall, yeah, can't read it right. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. If God understands we're just dust. Now, God doesn't delight in our failures, but he understands our weakness. He knows the product that he's working with. And it says, a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. You don't stay down. I messed up, God. I failed you. I sinned. Whatever the case may be. You confess it. You get up and go on. Faith. Those steps, though, not the entire highway, just sometimes the next step is all that God reveals to you. Well, I go back over my life, and there's time and time and time again, big decisions have been before me, and it just I've struggled with what the right decision to make was. Our move to from here from Kansas took over a year. I mean, we moved there. That the commitment was we're staying here the rest of our lives. We were there 17 years. And when God began to move my heart to leave, I wasn't sure about that. And it took a while for God just to get me to the place where, okay, this is what he wants. Now where do we go? And even that process, I won't go into the details, but it was difficult. And we struggled with that. And when we moved here, Elizabeth had just started college in Kansas. So we moved away from her. But she found us anyway. So there's some testings, there's some trials in that. But this is here because we said okay to God. This church is a result of that. And I don't take any credit for that. I had no idea what God was going to do. I knew I had a job at the Christian Academy as a maintenance man. That's all I knew when we moved here. And God has taken care of us. God provided us a home we have. God provided us this church family that's been so good to us over the years. By faith. Those trials. It's not scripted out. It's one step at a time. The trials reveal our faith.
And thirdly, this: obedience is a demonstration of our faith. When each of these individuals of Hebrews chapter 11 acted in faith, they obeyed. No hesitation, no questioning. And again, you look at their whole lives and you see some really bad things. Samson. His life up to the end was a tragedy. But in one final act in the end of his life, God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Even though he'd messed up time and time and time and time again before that, in the end, he redeemed himself. How are you going to finish? No questioning, no hesitation, no negotiating. Obedience is a testimony to my faith. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's where faith starts. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Here's what you said. I'm going to take count on that. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That's where we trip a lot of times. It doesn't make sense, God. Well, it didn't make sense for Abraham to take Isaac up and sacrifice him on that burnt altar, that offering. But God had a plan. We're not to lean on our own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths by faith. That obedience. Go back to Psalm 37 for a moment. Psalm 37. You see, none of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 understood fully what the outcome of their response was going to be. They just trusted their Heavenly Father. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Obedience demonstrates our faith. You know what this world around us needs to see? It needs to see more than just a parking lot full out here and you pulling out of your driveway on Sunday morning to come to church. It needs to see more than just a good person. You know what, there's a lot of unsaved people that are good people that live good lives, that are honest, trustworthy. There needs to be something that distinguishes us. They need to see God actively involved in our lives. The difference that Jesus Christ makes in my life because I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And that's where faith comes in. That we begin to see what God can do. They begin to see what God can do as we put our faith and trust in him. That's living life fully. And having an impact upon those around us as well. Seeing God's hand accomplishing what only he can do in our lives. Because the just shall live by faith. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, God, I pray that you'll help my feeble attempt this morning to be used to challenge the hearts of your people. God, we're all just unclean things. Your word says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's nothing in and of me that's any good, God. It's only you. God, I pray that you can take your word as I put it forth this morning and speak to the hearts of your people and challenge and help them and encourage them to live by faith. God, if there's someone here this morning that has never trusted you as Savior, I pray for those to understand fully the redemption that's in Jesus Christ, the salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the opportunity that's open and available to them if they'll just put their hand in yours, turn their lives over to you, and gain that forgiveness of sins, and have before them the abundant life available. God, speak to any hearts unsaved this morning. Help us, God, to live lives of faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.